Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good morning. Welcome to Moms Watching Media. My name is Tara Fricano. I would like to thank you for joining me on this beautiful fall sunny day. Today is Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. Much is happening in the world right now, but today we are going to discuss the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. This government agency has the keys to the shackles that surround us through COVID guidelines. So I'd like to go into a little bit of the history of the CDC and where they come from and where they started. And the CDC actually was established. We hear the CDC all the time, so maybe if we go back into a little history on this, we'll start to, understand the dynamics of it. It was formed on July 1st, 1946. It's 74 years old now. And it was the office prior to it was the Office of National Defense Malaria Control Activities in 1942. And the director is no other than Robert Redfield. And the executive deputy director is Anne Chitchat. I can never say her name. But this agency is controlling every single aspect of our life right now through recommendations, and they're backpedaling on all sorts of things, and they're just not sticking to their story. So, I'd like to go into, right now they're telling us that we can't, we have information about trick-or-treating. So no trick-or-treating or costume masks. The CD releases recommendations for Halloween amid pandemic. Now, is that because Governor Cuomo tried to take Halloween away from New York? Is it from those states doing all these different manipulated scenarios that now the CDC is like, oh, okay, well, we'll just do it that way? They're saying that it's not airborne. They're saying that it is airborne. They're saying masks work. They say masks don't work. I mean, at this point now, what is it that they're trying to tell us? This is so crazy because it has everybody's head spinning. And of course, this pandemic has now become a party line issue, which is just beyond me, because I know at the beginning of this, I knew, whatever it was in my gut, whatever. It had nothing to do with party line. I just knew we were about to be played. When they started shoveling money all over the place, it was really just like so obvious to me that there was something awry. Something was just not right with all of this. So, I have a good friend of mine calling in, and I want to bring her in because she's got a lot of information about the CDC, and we had a lot we were going to discuss. Hold on there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Oh, I can hear you. There it is. It clicked in. How are you, Catch? How you doing? I'm okay. I was just talking about how the CDC is going back and forth on all its, what it wants to do. And I was just reading over about the new mandate. They're trying to recommend no trick-or-treating or costumes. You're a little broken up there. Is that you or is that me? Oh, I lost you. Well, hopefully Catch will call back. But we were talking about the costumes and the no trick-or-treating and things like that. But I really think it's ironic that they come out after this when New York was starting to push that we weren't going to be trick-or-treating. And it's just crazy. Oh, hold on. We got her back.
Sorry. My phone is acting retarded. Anyways.
No, that's my fault. I was just talking about the Halloween. I mean, for me right now, with the way New York went down, is that there was all this applied pressure for Halloween because Governor Cuomo was going to say that he was going to make an executive order that there was no trick-or-treating. And how ironic now the CDC, after the fact, when New Yorkers pushed back and said, no, you're not. I mean, I wish there was bigger pushback than just Halloween right now, but maybe it'll escalate and maybe people will start to see that their voice is being heard. But right now, now all of a sudden it's the CDC is saying no trick-or-treating in costumes and masks. So does that get Cuomo off the hook when he drops the hammer of the executive order? I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's all ridiculous. I think it should be left up to the towns, like here where I live. Like, it's been left up to the people that live in the city. Like, we get to decide if we want to pass out candy or not. And they said, if we want to pass out candy, you know, leave the porch light on. So that's what we're going to do. And then I'm going to have a Halloween party as well for my children and for a few other friends.
Oh, that's fun. No, that's fun.
Yeah, if you want to come.
I mean, we're taking all the fun out of life. Everything is just so dismal. I mean, all these kids are seeing is that they're supposed to go to school and wear masks and social distance, and now they got to be away from each other on Halloween. They're watching riots on TV while their parents are watching late night news. I mean, how flippin' depressing is this world? And the CDC is at the helm of all this depression.
But see, this is the funny thing, though. Last week, I don't know, I think it was last Saturday or Sunday, whenever I got home and I had some errands and stuff to run, I was out with my mother-in-law, and we stopped off at a few places, and on our drive out to Amish country, we went past this park, and there was just this big, massive family reunion there. Nobody was wearing masks. It was outside. You know, it was just like a normal thing. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, huh?
I said, felt normal.
What? Sorry?
Yeah, it felt normal.
Yeah, it felt normal. That's right.
Right.
I'm sitting there, and my mother-in-law makes the same issue. She's like, but those people are social distancing. And I'm like, I don't think, I was like, I looked at her, and I was like, I don't think it matters anymore. Like, because, like, everything
that,
here
know,
has been open. Like,
are the schools in your state required to have the kids go to school with a mask on?
Yes, they suck. I didn't send my kids back to that school.
Well, I'm seeing some kids with not just a mask, but the spit guard, the shield over their head, too. They're wearing both. I mean, it's just so sad for these kids. I mean, now you got to wear all this extra stuff on your face. It makes no sense to me. But the CDC is definitely something that is just so spinning out of control. And if you follow it, just like anything else, it all has to do with the money. So you find out that there's tons of donations made back and forth. And, you know, there's a lot of, let's see, let me go back to this because I found this a little interesting. Robert Redfield and the director of the CDC and Bill and Melinda Gates have been in correspondence with each other through this whole idea about vaccines. Now, I think I had sent you, because we go back and forth all the time talking about this stuff, about the 2019 annual conference on vaccine research and how Redfield was backing Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for all the vaccines that they want to push. I mean, we're looking at a market. I mean, I just kind of wish people would. I know that we've been conditioned to say that, you know, vaccines are so great. You know, they've been around for 100 years. It's so great. It prevents death. I mean, still, you know, people die every day of all different things. And unfortunately, people that have some sort of underlying condition or, you know, how vaccines are built all for one person, you know, ultimately we see there's reactions to different things. So now, I mean, we're up to these vaccines. These people are sitting here basically advertising vaccines, and the CDC is like, oh, yes, well, we can't do anything until there's a vaccine. Whoa, what does that mean? I mean, then what kind of a doctor are you if the only way you could do it is through a needle?
Well, see, here's my thing. How is it that
uh-huh.
you can catch this virus and you're not going to be immune to it, but they're going to use the same exact virus to create a vaccination, and that's supposed to make you immune to it?
I love that. I know you're going to need like 49 boosters. You're going to need a booster every year, like the flu vaccines. I mean, look at the flu shot. Everybody's getting one a year. And then they tell us that there's different strains in it each year and it'll help fight off, but yet more and more people were getting sick. Every time they got their flu vaccine, they were getting sick. And now I'm seeing that a ton of kids are sick at the beginning of the school year. I guess the mask and social distancing thing isn't really working if they're all getting some sort of flu-like cold from one another. I still think it has a lot to do with all the kids that waited last minute to be immunized because they didn't know if they were going to go back to school. But that's just my guess.
Last night, I was going through my PDF files in my group. And I have a file in there that you need to see. I posted it on November 3rd, 2019. It's a PDF file titled Disease X. It's a 2018 PDF blueprint of different vaccinations and different diseases, viruses. But the two interesting ones that I saw were MERS, which is the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, and SARS, COVID-2, I think they put in there. And this document came out in 2018. I apparently got a hold of it at some point, and I just decided to post it on November 3rd of 2019. And I just thought it was interesting because it predates any of the U.S. and China cases.
You know,
in fact,
backdates
that.
Well, and then that's when we saw all of this coming out when it was in the flu vaccine, and we saw that there was coronavirus in the flu vaccine. They're like, oh no, this isn't the same strain. It's totally different.
When that came out, the government tried to squash that really quick, though. The CDC and all the NGOs came out and said, oh no, that's false information. But you got it straight from the NIH, which kind of incorporates that whole Fauci problem.
Well,
you know, it was their own research. Huh?
It was.
Fauci's a problem.
Just in general. But I mean,
just
think
in general.
It, 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, the CDC came out saying that only 6% of the 157,000 deaths died solely of COVID. And that every other death out of the 157,000 had two or more underlying conditions, and then that was slowly removed. They just quickly removed, and now it's saying it's false information. I mean, they're just they're tripping over themselves. And you know what the problem is?
You know, I was told in a conversation I had this morning by a doctor that COVID doesn't actually cure COVID doesn't actually kill any people. That it's, you know, the side effects, like with AIDS, which we know that.
Well, exactly. Well, right. I mean, think about it. You and I have been debating back and forth this young doctor who died in Texas from COVID, right? Not you and I debating, but we've been debating with a certain someone. And we, you know, we understand that she, I mean, you don't have COVID for 2 months. You just don't. It's in and out of your system within 2 to 4 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. So ultimately, now we're talking 2 months later and she had a brain bleed. Like, viruses don't cause that. Other things, escalate to that. That's the same thing I say about the arbitrary surgeries where you remove organs. You know, let's just take the tonsils out because it's creating a problem. Well, what caused the problem in the tonsil? It wasn't the COVID. It wasn't COVID that killed her. She was in the hospital for 2 months, and now they're saying she had a brain bleed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's out of control. And I don't know how that we...
But did
I don't know
COVID
what
caused the brain bleed, or did she have another underlying disorder that nobody knew about?
Right. And we also know that your stats aren't, you know, on your side when you're on event. It's just the way it is. The numbers, no matter how you...
On event once. My oldest daughter, when she had that... My oldest daughter, after she had her vaccinations in Florida, she got this horrible fever, and it caused her to have this massive seizure, and it didn't go away. Like, they couldn't get it to stop in the ER.
Ooh,
so they had to
scary.
Dope her up with, a bunch of, Valium, and they had to put a ventilator on her, and then they had to medevac her to a children's facility in Texas.
Oh, my God, how scary.
I know.
It's so scary.
It was for 15 days. They kept her in the pediatric intensive care unit.
It's terrifying. I mean, the same thing happens over and over again where, you know, there's these reactions and then they don't know what caused them. So you kind of throw treatment at symptoms because you're like, well, if we keep throwing crap against the wall, it'll hopefully stick and maybe they'll live and then we'll look like heroes. Thank God she was okay. How long did she have to stay on the ventilator?
Well, they put it on her, and then, like, when they moved her from the, the stretcher, and they were trying to put her in the bed, the ventilator dislodged. So they ended up just removing it that night.
Oh, see, but that stuff is so scary. And as a parent, I'm sorry you had to go through that because it is so stressful. I know.
My problem was, is during all that blood work that they came up with the fact that my daughter had an antivirus. The only way that she could have gotten that virus is because of the vaccinations that she had been given. A day earlier.
See, and this stuff happened. And then did they document it that it was vaccine injury in her charts by any chance?
No. You know that they're not going to do that. You know that they're not going to do that. That puts them liable.
They're not going to do that. And you know what the saddest part is people, I understand that we say the big pharma is protected at the federal level, but it's going to be very hard for us to get doctors who willingly injected these children with something they truly believed was safe, and now this child comes back and they either die or they're severely injured, and or now they're in a coma, or they're in all these different things. Now they're having seizures. They lost all verbal communication. They're just totally – I mean, they'd be sued. The big pharma comes in and tells them that everything is all safe, and then this doctor is going to really put that on the chart because, you know what, when it comes to lawyers and time for suing, they sue everyone, including the custodian that cleans the building. So, you know, I'm not surprised at these doctors. And if doctors just really, I'm not, you know, for me, I still wish the Doc Bakers of, you know, a long time ago were still in play. Because, you know, you had the doctors that came in, and when something was, like, broken, they would, you know, try to fix you. Now it's just so arbitrary. They're like, well, you may have that. You may have this down the road. And, you know, and honestly, you know what's something else I noticed recently that was really tweaking me? I've been listening to the radio a lot. And prior, years ago, not even very long ago, for years, we were hearing prescription drug commercials, right? You know, we were hearing all sorts of pills, take this pill for that pill and take that pill for this pill.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm hearing tons of? Vaccine commercials.
Oh, yes,
something
vaccine
I haven't heard before.
But
you
doesn't want list the side effects, though. It doesn't list the side effects like the drugs does, you know, the ones for different drugs that they offer for different stuff. Yeah. Like, those list all the side effects. But the vaccination ones don't list the side effects.
Right. I didn't even notice that until you just said that. You're right, because those commercials just say, oh, sponsored by Merck, and then they just poof away. But you don't have that little guy at the end with all the disclaimers talking 95 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
With all, you're right. They don't.
And the
have
same
that.
Thing That's should funny. Apply with vaccinations than any other drug, because people have different genetic makeup. Obviously,
well,
things
you know
are
why?
Going
they
to affect you differently
to.
Than they're going to affect you.
And you know why? Because I bet you they have these disclaimers or, like, you know, sub ideas where it's not a medicine. You know, it's not medicine, where medicine has to give you all the, you know, though there is the inserts you get with your vaccines, and they're always there, but I'm not sure if those are by law. Are they by law, the inserts?
I don't know.
They are.
I'd
have to look that up. Yeah, because honestly, if they're not putting it on the radio commercials and they're putting it in the boxes, why is it, you know, mandatory for one
but,
and not the
but
other?
Then again, but then again, why do they have to? They have this vaccination compensation fund, right? And you know that the doctors aren't going to sign off on that. So it's they're free and clear. It doesn't matter what it can cause or what harm that it does cause, because they're in the free and clear. They were trying to do that back in the early 2000s under the Bush administration for opioids.
Yep.
They
were
trying to get that free pass on the opioids, but Bush didn't allow it to go through.
Well, think about it. I mean, even the pharmaceutical companies made out big on the opioid fight because now hospitals are giving away free Narcan and all this stuff and all they're giving this way and giving and they're oh and now in Ithaca they have the safe site injection tents. I mean, who do you think's supplying this? It's pharmaceutical companies. They're like, oh, we have this great idea. If you put up a tent and they shoot up in the tent, all will be fine. I mean, like, and then there's, like, politicians that are like, that's a great idea. I knew a guy once who was, like, terribly, you know, they're thinking to themselves, I knew this guy, and he was in high school, and he was a drug addict, and if, you know, he just had a safe place to shoot up. Like, what? Like, what are they thinking? You know, I mean, I was reading an article today that the temperature is not a good litmus now for, you know, the screening of COVID. Well, isn't that ironic? They just dump tons of grant money into counties and schools for them to buy these temperature, you know, these thermometers. And now they're going to be pointless anyways, because when the kid goes and gets one that's randomly testing children, or like they are in the colleges randomly testing the college students, they're getting some positives and some negatives, and these kids aren't even looking or presenting to be sick. So it's all about money. I wish people would really understand that, because it's really all about money. And the more I look into the CDC and how they're just twisting the fear up. I mean, if you go to the CDC, just on Wiki alone, I was looking on it on Wiki. Do you know, I started reading about it, that they have a zombie apocalypse campaign? And in their zombie apocalypse
campaign. Oh, yeah, they started
campaign,
that. There's actually a drill.
Yep. 2011, they started
there was a drill. The military trained for the zombie apocalypse. This happened a few years ago. It was like part of emergency management. It was just a drill that they did.
But it's continuous, because if you look into it, it says a team called the CDC Zombie Task Force. So it's like got a thing. It's got its own agency. It's just another bunch. I mean, there's really people that say, I work for the Zombie Task Force. I get paid by the government because I work for the Zombie Task Force. Yeah. I mean, the job left and right. We just hired 3 new COVID employees for our county. So, like, now they're just making government COVID employees. I mean, we got alien employees. We got all those people, too. We got the SpaceX program. Oh, wow. I mean, it's astonishing. So, I mean, is there anything specific that you want? I know that you're not happy about a lot of what the CDC is specific,
at this point, I'm praying for, like, a Stargate or a wormhole to go crawl through. Or alien invasion, I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like we're going to have to have to give them all our food. Probably have to give them all our animals. Doesn't matter. We'll have to wear masks because it makes them feel more acceptable. I mean, I don't know. I feel like, again, we'll have some sort of weird white privilege that. I'm sorry. I think that if it just seems. I don't
know.
Alien space attack. Yeah, could you hear me? I don't think if there was a...
I'm getting every other word.
Oh, is it better now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Good.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I know. It's so weird. It feels like those things. With all the satellites that get flying around the planet, you'd think that the phones would work just fine. But, you know, I mean, this whole thing now about, you saw how the CDC is abruptly removes guidance about airborne coronavirus transmission, it says was posted in error. I mean, so first it was not airborne, then it was airborne, now it is airborne. I mean, like, they just got people spinning. Like, remember back when, like, everybody started jumping on the internet and there was that frog video where they put the frog in the blender? That's kind of what it looks
like.
Yeah. They're just blending us up until we're a ball of mush, because I have no idea what. I mean, honestly, you and I have do a lot of digging, and we research a lot of what we're learning. But the end game is kind of odd to see, isn't it? Like, you can't tell why the seed. Like, you know, when Fauci is sitting there saying that we won't go back to normal lives until 2021 sometime, maybe. You know, like, come on.
We're not going back to normal anything the way things was before. Like, that's just not going to happen. It's not part of the plan.
No, it's not part of the grand plan, and we've said it 1,000 times that, you know, the United States is the only roadblock to this new world order. You know, us having a bottom-up government the way we do, where we're not completely controlled by a socialist regime that tells us that they know better for us. Even, I mean, now I just don't even get it, because, you know, a lot of the far-left progressive Democrats would love for everything to be manipulated by government, but they just refuse to see certain things like technology being put into place. So when you have these smart refrigerators, guess what they're actually saying to you? It's smarter than you. It's going to tell you you should only have this much eggs and this how many people in your family, and anything that's controlled by technology, people should be very leery of. And if we're willing to let the government have oversight on every single aspect of our lives, what's the game? What's the end game? What's the end game? I just
don't even. I read an article about that the other day. I'll send it to you. It showed how they're going to put like chips inside humans' brains, like. They want these computer chips to be inserted inside of, like, human, I guess, brain tissue, whatever, to read kind of, like, what we're thinking. That's, like,
they're doing it to the kids in China.
It's either Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk that's talking about that, but I think Bill Gates might have been involved in that article, too.
Elon Musk is loving that microchip idea. And in China already now, they have headsets on the children that are reading their, not thought patterns, but it was the way they described it is they're reading if they're paying attention or not. And it alerts the teacher if they're like dozing off or drifting off and not paying attention. I mean, what are they going to add little electrodes to it and zap the kid after a while?
Don't give them any ideas.
They already thought about it. I tell my husband that all the time. Every time we think of something, they've already thought about it already. We're just catching up. That's all it is. I mean, really, a microchip, and we've gone through the nanotechnology and all of that, that idea, you can pretty much control anything with that kind of stuff. We've seen it in movies. We've seen it in sci-fi magazines. They're all about this. Well, if we can take technology and control every single aspect, it's going to be awesome and we'll make millions. But everybody ignores the part at the end where they're like, we'll make millions. That's the microchip thing.
That's all that they care about is money. And I don't even understand it. It's not like it's like real money. It's like Monopoly money at this point, because there's like nothing to back that stuff up with.
It's not even real money. If you control the markets, if you like, think about it. I always break it down to my county. You and I talk about that all the time. When I look at my county and I think about how many small businesses have been left, I mean, have closed permanently, it's really just taking one or two corporations that are now left in your entire county. So like little drones, you're going to go to the Walmarts and you're going to go to the Home Depots and the Lowe's that, you know, withstood all of this. And then you just don't have anything left. I know that ultimately this is going to lead towards like they're going to dissolve county lines. And then it makes a more centralized government. And we saw it through, they probably did it in your state too, through shared services and consolidation and all those different, you hear counties were sharing all their different services and they're going to utilize it in one place. You know, I want to hear other people's opinions too. Feel free to call in. The phone number here is 319-527-6208. What's your thoughts on the CDC? Press 1 if you'd like to join in the conversation. It's one of those things though where I just don't understand why people don't, I don't know. I mean, you were telling me about this one. We were talking about it, which I thought it was funny because the guy looked like Alfred Hitchcock and it made it all that creepier. I mean, this guy said that, and what was his quote? Let me see if I can go back to it. He had leave of absence. And what was it that he had said? Oh,
I have to go back to that. Hang on.
Yeah, it says the top spokesman of the Department of Health and Human Services is taking a leave of absence, the agency announced Wednesday, days after promoted dangerous conspiracy theories during its Facebook Live video. In the video, first reported by the New York Times, Michael Caputo, HHS Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs, charged that scientists at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, quote, don't want America to get well. I mean, why the hell would an agency like that want us to get better? Sick brings money. Fear brings money. So every time people go to the doctor, they're like, oh, don't forget to get your blood pressure checked. Don't forget to get this checked. Did you get your glaucoma checked? Did you do this? Did you check? And I always say the same thing. You could take your car to the shop anytime, and they're going to find something wrong with it. And it's always about finding that paycheck at the end. So I think it's interesting, though, that he did that. I mean, why do you think he went on vacation?
I don't know. I'm not going to speculate.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be speculation because he just went on a leave of absence. He's just going out, you know. I think it's pretty crazy right now that the world is it's such odds because we're being told things through agencies we were told we could trust because they were sold as, you know, they're so good for us and things like that. And in the end, we're learning that that's not the case. But again, like my friend Lynn Taylor will always say, once you start to catch on, they start to rename and rebrand everything. So the more people go, you know, you start getting on the trail of something like that, now they're going to, oh, well, we'll dissolve the CDC and we'll forget about the CDC and we'll stop funding the CDC and blah, blah, blah. And then they'll just turn it into something else. I mean, I think it was in ESSA, in every Student Succeeds Act, I think we figured out there was 14 different agencies now overseeing education. I think it was roughly 13 or 14 agencies, government agencies, that were overseeing education. So at this point now, I know that I'm still wondering if we're going to get rid of the Department of Education, because remember, that was a big, huge push in 2016 to get rid of the Department of Education. But now that it's so embedded in the government throughout, what do we do now? What's the plan?
I know. And create a new alphabet agency.
Probably, yeah. They'll just call it something else. I mean, right now the kids are coming.
Like the whole global warming in the 90s, right? Global warming. It changed names to sustainable development and climate change over the years, right?
Yep.
Are you there?
And then
there's multiple government and NGOs that are involved in climate change. And now, because of that executive order that Trump passed within the past 2 years, and now everything dealing with climate change or anything environmentally speaking now falls under the Department of Defense. Everything now goes through the Pentagon.
You know, and I'm looking at even just if you go to – it's simple for people to get educated on the CDC. I mean, they have links. Even just going to Wiki will help you show. I mean, you scroll down and you look at what they branch off on. They have the workforce and it's Epidemic Intelligence Service. So that's a whole other department. We got Public Health Associated Program. That's another whole department. You know, I mean, even just a Division of Select Agents and Toxins. That's a whole other department. I mean, we're so woven in that how do you get it out? And now with all the kids, you know, so one of the online schooling that I signed our daughter up for, my husband and I, I talked to one of the representatives there, and they told me that their online academy is at a 400% increase from last year. So now all the schools are emptying in one capacity or another. Either they're shut down because they're just not getting funding, or they're doing on the remote learning, or they're online schooling, or they're just your traditional homeschooling families, which is still very prevalent right now. I don't know, dude. This sounds like they're splitting us up. What do you think?
I don't know. Did you see that stupid bill that my governor did? I don't know if it's other states yet or not, but our governor here in Ohio decided to write out that bill for K-12 schools, which is all online learning.
and dealing with COVID. So, like, if you have a suspected case of COVID, you have to tell the school, or you're supposed to tell the school, and then the school is going to tell the health department and then all these other parents, and it's just a big mess.
Oh, God. So they're going to
Yeah, they're
going to
dictate that.
Well, you're saying that they're going to dictate if the school can close or not. They're not leaving it up to the school to decide to close or not.
Bad. Let me explain this a little bit. So, say hypothetically, say we got a case of COVID at our school, even though we're all doing remote learning, right? Allegedly, the parents, ideally, according to this document, this order, would tell the school, and then the school would go around. They would probably have to shut down the school, clean the school, notify the health department, notify all these public officials, probably children's services, because if a parent comes down with it, you know that's grounds for a new Title IV case for them to come in and remove your kids from your home. We've seen the paperwork on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be like a big old shit show.
It is going to be a big old shit show. That's what's going to happen. And now New York, it's weird because Long Island still have one school where a couple of tests, you know, a couple either staff or student will test positive for COVID, and they will just quarantine those few, and then the other kids come back to school like a day or two later after they wash everything. But then there's other schools that are like, boop, we shut down until further notice until we figure this out. It's like nobody's doing anything the same across the line. And, you know, if we were having, like, all these task force for all the years about pandemics and everything else, but really, like, that was a lot of money wasted since it's such a mess right now. You know, all that planning and all that speculation and all that, you know, what ifs. And yet now still now schools have no money to cover what's going on. Cuomo announced a week ago that, you know, if we got taxes this year, we're bad, wait till next year because school taxes are going to be through the roof. I mean, think about your school taxes even in your state. If all these schools have to follow these mandates and social distancing and extra desks and rebuilding classrooms into, you know, gymnasiums into classrooms, that costs money. And some schools are testing, by the way. Some schools are testing on time. Because I know that in New York State, and I don't know if they have them yet in your state, that there are schools joining local clinics prior to COVID, like almost 2 years prior to COVID, that were joining forces with their local school district, and these clinics were there as almost like a glorified school nurse. Where if your kid was sick, you could just send your kid to school sick that day and they would go to the clinic. Those clinics are doing those testings now that at those districts that have established that. But guess how those schools got entwined with those clinics? Guess what kind of funding they had to, you know, get entwined with clinics before this? It was all through what? Grant money, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get grant money. They can hire a few more nurses. They can hire, you know, have this kind of transportation back and forth to the clinic and the school. And I'm sorry, but for years I picked my children's doctors. I don't want the school picking who's going to see my daughter when she's sick. How about you?
Nope. I already told my principal that I'm like, I don't even want my kids in online school this year. The only reason why they're remote learning is because my husband and I have been fighting about this, like not fighting, but like major disagreement in our house. Like we don't fight, it's just like, you know what I'm talking about? Like men are stupid whenever it comes to certain things.
Well, I think that it's a lot to handle. It's a lot of information. And, you know, I guess that we are, each one of us is conditioned to, you know, we're used to a certain way of living. But now, I don't know. I mean, I hope dads are starting to see it too, as well as moms, because it's pretty scary. And now with this online schooling, I mean, how do they work it? Are they like in a live class with your kids? Or how does it work?
No, they're in a live class for like 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. So like they get 10 minutes of break time between two teachers. They got their math and science, and then they got their, I hate that, social studies, but I call it history. And language arts.
Yeah. I know. So, you know, and then they get like their 10-minute breaks or whatever. But then the principal, every week, he sends me a stupid, I don't know, like a thing to fill out, like a survey, asking me if I want to, if I had the option to send my kids to school, would I? And every time I check, nope. I mean, every week he sends it to me. And I'm like, obviously my mind hasn't changed since the week before. Why do you keep sending me these damn surveys?
Well,
you know what I mean?
They're probably getting them from the state somehow.
Oh,
you know,
well,
the state
sure,
probably
but...
wants to know this data.
And like I told my husband, I said, let me catch them trying to tell my kids to wear masks in the privacy of our own home. I said, that is the day that I don't give a shit what you say, and I will pull my kids out of school.
Well, I tell you, I got a call from a mom last week who was terribly upset because she indoctrination and the visual effects and the mental manipulation of these masks and the social distancing. So she decided to do the online, the remote learning. First day of school of her daughter signing on to the online learning, they go right into, you know, we're going to be learning about safety and we're going to be learning about wearing masks and social distancing. You know, all together and homeschool her, or you know, try to find another alternative route for her daughter, because this is madness. I mean, I know a lot of
the
people that I've
talked with.
For which one?
Have you seen the new commercials where people are wearing masks? It's like the new social conditioning. They're like conditioning you to like want to wear a mask.
Oh, I know. You go online and shop for clothing. The masks are built into the clothing now too.
Oh, yeah, and they got matching ones. Like, back in the spring, I was shopping, and I saw that they had these matching dresses with these matching face cloths. It almost reminded me of, like, hijabs. You know,
well,
you can get, like, matching scarves, or you know what I'm talking about?
I did find out through my, you know, my daughter, who's, like, uber cool, and I'm not as cool as she is because I'm old now. But she told me that, and it was a few other people that had told me that, for a while, there's this cosplay. And the cosplay involves wearing this mask. It was prior to COVID. And these dresses had these masks built into them. So you must wonder if they were conditioning the kids along the way.
Oh, yeah, with
I
the
mean,
whole
I
anime thing,
because
my daughter is, like, really into that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she had these masks. Like, I didn't think anything of it back last 2019, 2018, when she got into, like, wearing this cosplay and doing this whole cosplay stuff and wanting me to buy her these masks. And I was like, okay, no problem. Well, then after everything kind of happened and I'm sitting there and I'm starting to be curious myself about this. And they were selling masks years prior. Because
I was buying them
for my kids. Dumbass.
It's so weird. You know, it's funny. I was just reading this. I was looking at this part about the CDC, and it says in August 20th, the CDC recommended that the people showing no COVID-19 symptoms do not need testing. So up until August 2020, CDC was saying that if you're not showing any symptoms, you don't need any testing. Well, the new guidelines alarmed many public health experts. The guidelines were created by the White House Coronavirus Task Force, without the sign-off of the CDC's best-known expert, Anthony Fauci. Objections by the other experts at the CDC went unheard. Officials said that the CDC documents in July arguing for the importance of reopening schools was also created outside the CDC. The testing guidelines were reversed on September 18, 2020, after public controversy. What public controversy, or does it sound like there was internal battling between these clown agencies? I mean, were people really screaming? Because I don't know about you. Other parents that I was talking to were just like, let's just go back to school. And the thing that kills me is that the whole world has now conditioned themselves that when they have to act the role of wearing masks and social distance, they are. And yet when they're in the privacy of each other's homes or at a birthday party or they see, you know what I mean? Like, they're like putting on a show now just to behave themselves. And yet the CDC can go around and all the way up until August, they were saying we didn't need testing. Now all of a sudden, and then, hey, isn't it more money to pay for those tests?
I don't know. I think the CDC's lost all credibility, in my opinion, just based off of, you know, buy a mask, don't buy a mask, you need masks, they're not going to protect you anyways. The Surgeon General wasn't an idiot whenever he went out and told people all the way up until 4th of July that it wasn't important about the mask issue because he knew that backpedaling was going to cost, like, trust issues. You know what I mean? It was going to cause the public to resist. It was going to cause this massive resistance. He wasn't stupid.
No, and you know what? It was just fine enough to leave it alone. I mean, the debt now, do you see the new announcements? Well over 200,000 deaths. Okay, well over 200,000 deaths, but yet at the same time when they're making that announcement, the CDC is telling us only 6% of them were actually of COVID. So, I mean, come on. They're just spinning us around. So what's the truth? In and out Facebook. I love that Facebook's the authority, right? You know, they're the know, they know everything.
Oh my God, you can't even put a funny meme, like not even just a satire, funny, ha-ha meme. They fact check that too now.
Oh my gosh,
you know that,
I went through some of my
memes. Have you seen that?
And they're just like, oh my God, I got sent, I was told that I was in violation of Facebook standards because I shared a Facebook GIF of Rocky. And they told me because I've been good and I didn't know, maybe I just didn't know. And they kind of like yelled at me for 2 days.
Yeah, I used to get those, but now I get banned for 30 days. I'm actually in a 30-day ban right now on my page.
Oh, my gosh. You're such a bad girl when it comes to Facebook. If you don't follow their little, like, show, then it's not, you know. I mean, for me, I tell everyone, I know a lot of people are going to different social media out, you know, different sources, they're changing with the Parler and the MeWe and they're going to different things like that. But for me, I just think that Facebook right now is we've worked so hard and for so long to try to communicate and open lines of communications with our friends, our families, meet new people, that I'm not leaving Facebook until they shut down my account. Let's put it that way, because what's the point? I mean, if we go to these other outlets, we're probably creating echo chambers of like-minded individuals that aren't going to be able to spread the word the way Facebook's doing. We're obviously doing something right. You know what I mean? Like, if we weren't doing something that annoyed them, why would they pay attention to us?
What I have found out in the past few months is if I use the government's own data against them, like with the government links, that Facebook cannot ban me because I've got those government CDC links. I've got those NIH links. I've got, you know, that information. Now, what does get me banned is if the NIH removes data or if the CDC decides to redact and remove that link, then I'm kind of in a pickle.
Well, right, because it's just like they said, it was fact-checking that the CDC came out with this. And then
because they removed it. Right? If they remove it, I mean, obviously, okay, so there's this little thing called Internet Archives, okay, and everything that's ever been posted on the Internet is in there, okay? So you can go back to the archives section, and I used to do this, right, just to prove a point because I used to be that person, but now I just don't care anymore. This Internet Archives, you can go back there to that link and it will show that it was up at once upon a time and it will show you pretty much the time frame of when it came down.
Well, yeah.
So you
can actually do that
if you want to just kind of like prove a point, but it's just, you know, what's the point at this point?
Okay, so let's go to this. I have this article here and this is like to scare parents. I think, honestly, to scare parents to take their kids out of school. I mean, if you're a parent, I mean, I can't say I can speak for every parent, but you read this headline and you tell me what your first thought is. CDC announces emergency might require a sudden sleepover for school kids. Now all of a sudden you're getting wind that your kid might be at school. Next thing you know, they're like sleeping there that night and you can't even talk to them.
No.
What's your first thought?
It's.
Do you feel safe hearing that?
I think it's safe. That should be very fearful for parents, first and foremost. Second, you know, I've seen things kind of like leading up to that, and I've talked to you about stuff, and you know what I mean? So, like, that was why back in the spring when we first started hearing about these first few cases, and I wanted my kids to be pulled out of school. And you didn't – I think you and I got into a discussion about that one day, about that precisely what I did, because I went and I pulled my kids from school. I didn't want my kids to be in school because I knew from work and other stuff the control that the government can have. And, like, in any event or any emergency, like, for me, like, I live within 10 miles of a nuclear power plant, okay? If we have a disaster there and if my kids are at school, the school has the legal authority to take my children in a FEMA bus somewhere and put them in, like, some type of, like, a FEMA center, like an emergency, like a disaster center.
Well, what they call them here in New York, because we have the same exact thing, and it started because of the gun control was, and the school shooting. And that's the term they like to use, an undisclosed location, because we won't know where they take the kids.
Well, we just had a new disaster center, like a disaster thing that was built. It cost the city of Mentor like $3 million to build it. And now they've got like all these hazmat trucks and all this stuff. And all it does, to me, it just looks like a very high-class FEMA center. They've got, like, this big center where they could house people. They've got all these emergency and hazmat vehicles. It's just, you know.
You know, the CDC comes up with these guidelines. It goes along with a lot of these bills that have passed and come into law. I mean, I'm looking now. The CDC bans evictions through the end of the year. The CDC, how does CDC have oversight on people paying their rent or not? How do they have that? Aren't they supposed to be, like, looking at infectious disease and you know, plagues, all that kind of stuff? I mean, I don't know, man. I tell you what, these people are, if people are falling for this stuff, I'm
just tyranny.
And they're doing it through agencies. And the problem I always have with agencies is that they're not elected. They're appointed. So you would have to get through tons of layers just to get through those, to get those different directors or those corrupt individuals out. You have to go to court. You have to spend millions and millions of dollars just to try to stop one guy in an agency where it's embedded throughout the entire agency. I mean, if we understood limited government, we wouldn't have 49,000 agencies. I wouldn't be hearing that government jobs need to be competitive. I wouldn't be hearing any of that. I would be hearing thriving communities, healthy living. I mean, every time I see something about what keeps you healthy during COVID, like, you know, vitamin D and vitamin C and taking zinc and doing all the right things for your body, that never comes out of the CDC. Have you ever found one link that says what you can do to prevent this stuff like that?
I'm sorry, what?
No, that's okay.
I'm
talking about the fact that, you know, people are, we're finding information about what keeps us healthy, but it's not through the CDC that they're not the one telling us to eat right and take the right minerals and vitamins and all that stuff.
But see, that's part of it. They're in cahoots with, like, the other alphabet agencies, like the FDA. I mean, the FDA is who approves all that nasty preservative crap that's in all of our food here in the USA that's killing everybody. I mean, you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the FDA wants to go and ban turmeric herbs and different stuff like that that people use for alternative healing.
I mean, they're out.
Remember that
trees
last year?
Oh, yeah. There was a whole slew of things. Turmeric, I mean, I got to tell you, turmeric's something that I put in my family's diet all of the time. We just had meatloaf within it last night, and it was very good. You know, these things where people can learn how to eat healthy and stay strong and do what's right for themselves, stay hydrated. I mean, people don't even realize that if you're hydrated properly, and I don't mean Gatorades, I don't mean juice, I don't mean milk, I don't mean soda, I mean water. If you're properly hydrated, you have a higher percentage of staying healthy. So if people get themselves informed just slightly on those things, and you remove salt and sugar and processed foods and fake chemicals out of your diet, you're most likely going to stay healthier.
Well, just like back when all the food shortages, remember all the food shortages? You could walk into a grocery store and you had everything removed from the shelves, right? But all the fruit and the produce is just like sitting there. Like nobody wanted the good stuff, but they'll take all the garbage, preservative filled crap.
My girlfriend and I talked about that a lot. I was like, okay, so the SpaghettiOs are missing, but yet there's thousands of bananas, strawberries, you know. The avocados are still freshly intact. They're all right there. Nobody was taking that stuff. They were getting toilet paper and Campbell's soup and, you know, whatever. People can say that Campbell's soup is good for you. All I know is I feel like I got to drink a gallon of water after how much salt is in those soups just alone. So, I mean, case or one. I mean, it's just the salt intake. And if you think about the salt intake that's in much of our food, it's why we're always dehydrated and tired. You know, a lot of times the kids are dragging their butts because they're eating things that have such high salt, you know, the count in it, that they're not staying energized. You know, I tell my daughter all the time, if she starts to feel a little tired, go drink a glass of water, you know, and things like that. And, you know, you stay healthier if you just use common sense. But if the CDC is showing the scare, I mean, we're still seeing these articles with the floating virus, like, bubble. I'm like, really? Okay, we all know what the virus looks like. But it's fearful. It's all fear. I don't know. I don't have any fear. I mean, I know we all live, we all die. And, you know, ultimately, if there's a cold or a virus or something like that, I mean, I guess we could go into our bunkers and emerge later and everything will just be fine. I don't know about that. These people are crazy. You can't lock. I mean, did you hear the rates of the elderly people that are dying quicker and succumbing to Alzheimer's and dementia so much quicker because they have no visit? They have no visitors. They're not seeing anyone.
But yet, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed these places nursing homes and retirement communities to house COVID patients. And our government paid them to do it. Like our state government here in Ohio paid nursing homes to become certified COVID centers to keep and house COVID patients. This is the thing. I had to sit there and listen to our governor. I call him the wino, the rhino. He's sitting up there talking about how this disease affects the elderly and we care about our elderly, we love our elderly, but yet he's the one that's going behind the scenes with the government and the alphabet agencies cutting the checks for these nursing homes to become certified COVID centers.
I mean, I don't know. The craziness never ended. I mean, honestly, the churches were still not holding church. Many churches are still not holding church inside their buildings. But yet they were willing to take money to turn their churches into test centers. So, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, I mean, like, if you're willing to, like, invite every – I don't know, man. This is
– I think the reason why churches were closed – a lot of churches here, I mean, all of our churches here are pretty much closed, but I think the reason why is because here in small town Ohio, our churches become our voting centers. Like, we can go there on election day, and that's where we put in all of our votes at, is in our churches.
Oh, and then
churches and schools. So, I think that it has to do with that. Like, I think that is, like, a big part of it.
Well, I mean, I'm really kind of, like, disgusted. This whole election day is going to be such a nightmare. Some states started early voting already, and there's all this money that's just – you can go early voting for 10 days. I think it's 11 including – it's either 10 or – yeah, it's 11 total days because it concludes – and it's like mind-boggling to me that, you know, we're like steer us into these locations like Walmarts and vote polls, because the voting polls in, I don't know how they're doing it in your state, but they started consolidating this early voting. Is your early voting in your state, is it at like one specific location, not where you would normally vote on election day?
No, they're trying to still get us to do this mail-in crap.
Oh, yeah, I'll see you too. No doubt. We're all
getting. Yeah, so
yeah,
they're
getting,
like,
in.
Trying to push that. So,
That's going to be
I know
our
local Republican committee is looking for poll workers, but I'm like, for what? I mean, they've been pushing this whole you have to vote online or you have to vote, like, by mail or, you know, agenda. And I don't want to vote by mail. And if I do, I'm going to register as, like, something that I'm probably not. And then I'm going to cast my vote that way because I don't trust it after watching that lady from Florida with the slip where they
I know, I saw them.
Where they're, you know what I'm talking about with the D and the R?
Oh, yeah.
With the Democrat or Republican. So, like,
I did,
if I register to vote.
Before.
Huh?
I haven't seen anything like that in my state. I called my Board of Elections about that, and I haven't heard anything. But, anything's possible. We just don't know how they stamp these things as they go through the post office.
Well, see, I don't trust the post office because of all that mess that's going on with it right now and the Democrats and this, that, and whatever. Plus, I just don't trust it in general with the whole, like, if they do have the DNR thing, like Florida obviously did. But, so, like, if I register to do the mail-in ballots, I'm going to register as either an independent or a constitutionalist, and then I'm going to mail in my ballot that way. If that's what I have to do, if that's the only way I can vote, that's what I'm going to do. And then
I'm very sad this year because I usually work the polls and I go to the, I worked all day long last year, entire day, and it was a great experience to get to see, you know, different people in your community. You're involved, you're helping with the process. I won't do it this year because the mandate says we're supposed to be wearing face shields. I'm not doing it. Taking other people to come on election day, and it's sad in the sense that, you know, this is something I've always liked to do and be a part of, but I'm not going to. At a quarter to, I think we were there at 4:45 last time, and then you work until 9:30 at night. I'm not sitting there with a face shield on all day. So I get a break from my imprisonment, and I get to go eat lunch by myself. I'm passing it up this year. But I got to tell you, you know, I went to the CDC website, and it still says for 6% of the deaths, COVID-19 was the only cause mentioned. Out of 170, as of 9/12/2020, because now they're saying since 9/12, and what's today, the 22nd, that somehow we've surpassed. We had 0 to 24, 394 deaths, 25 to 34, 1,300 deaths, 35 to 44, 3,635 deaths. Then you start creeping up in the 55,894 people 85 and over. Where are these people? Where are these people that I don't know? I mean, I people are telling me that their parents, their elderly parents, their grandparents, so and so, somebody died. You know what? These numbers are crazy. What do you think about these numbers shifting in a matter of days?
I don't know, because I don't know anyone that's personally died of COVID or COVID-related death. I don't know anyone. I don't even know anyone that's been infected with it.
But you do know that every time you're in a conversation, that person that you're in a conversation with says, oh, they know somebody. They know somebody. And I'm like, well, who? And what was the underlying conditions? And I'm So what was the deal? Like, anybody got the deal?
I don't know anyone that I've had a conversation with that knows somebody who had it, or, you know, I don't know.
I haven't even seen, like, what about that baby that they just talked about? What the heck was that? Where is that? The two-month-old who actually died because of a gastrointestinal bleed, but they said she was one of the first babies to die of COVID. The guy, the governor in Connecticut, that baby's death. Remember right at the beginning of this when Candace Owen exposed a lot of that, and the little baby had been suffocated by the daycare, the babysitter?
Yes. Yeah, I remember that. And then they tried to blame COVID for the death.
Right. And that's the same thing that happened with this little baby that just got where she was from. And, you know, it's terrible because the loss of a child is just so traumatic. It's a loss that is just, it's something you can't ever really truly explain. But now you've got these parents that have lost a child and they're seeing on the news that their child died of something that they didn't. I mean, can you imagine how these parents feel? I'd be angry. I'm angry because, you know, for me, I have the same situation. My son died to a vaccine injury and then due to RSV complications, and it was a whole big compounded mess for our son. And you'll get tons of other people that will tell you that, oh, no, it is what it is. You know, it's like, you know, he was small. He was this, he was that. So, I mean, I'm used to the fact that people will just try to condition themselves to dismiss the obvious. Doesn't it feel like they're dismissing the obvious in a lot of these cases?
Yep.
I mean, if grandma was 92 years old and you know that she had diabetes, or you know that she had ailing issues, she was always suffering with high blood pressure, this, that, and the other thing. I mean, we're going to say that we should shut down a country because these individuals, I don't know.
No.
It just really...
No, I'm not going to say that. Sorry. I was texting again. Sorry. I'm getting bombarded with work texts. So.
No, that's okay. I appreciate your time. It's always good because when you and I talk, oh, hey, let's take a caller. We have a caller. Maybe you have a question here you can help us out with.
Oh, I was going to ask about the CDC, voting thing. I know it's like another thing that was like, interesting, like apparently like last year they filed, like the post office filed for like a blockchain voting patent or something, which is like a permanent ledger. I'm thinking like, and I'm recalling like how first like in 2016 they were saying how they kept needing to have federalized the elections and move toward more government control and all this stuff because it's supposedly the Russia hacking and all that, and now they're there's the voting stuff, and like I'm wondering if they're like setting us up. So I can't vote or fraud or something like, and then they're going to offer like putting the vote on this permanent storage from far away. And what eventually they're going to do when they have it on the record is now that they have all your voting on the record, they can start to ration your health care if you don't vote the right way or something.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, welcome to the show. And, you know, it's a very good point you're making because, I mean, they could just sit there and say that, well, everything's on. I mean, we don't know. All these voting polls are all, most of them are electronic now. They could just say, oh, the numbers are skewed. We're going to have by mail.
No, like
you know, they
could change
it
offer
anyway.
A solution for, like, saying, like, all these people, like, saying, like, all the flipping stuff that offers a solution or stuff, like, because, like, the voter ID, like, oh, no, all this voter fraud and stuff, they'll say, we'll fix it with this, but really, they don't have a permanent record, but now they can, like, rash in your health care, like, cut off benefits if you don't vote the right way, like, some third world country would. I'm sure it'll be a big trap. And I'm also wondering why the post office would like have this patent for like voting a mail by mail by this blockchain last year. It was almost like they knew this was coming. I mean, but they only announced it recently. I'm like, I think I posted that article to you. Like, I'm like, that's really interesting timing. It's almost like they knew it was coming.
Is this talking about in here and at the beginning?
Wait, what do you mean? I can barely hear
you. Who is this? I didn't hear your name at the beginning, so I didn't know.
Paul,
I have. Paul.
My name is Paul.
Yes,
I like to be correspondent on Facebook.
Yes, hi, Paul. I just wasn't sure. I broke up at the beginning. Yeah, no. I agree. they are going to manipulate this election because it's just it's coming in that fashion where they're going to do the voting in a, I mean, think about it. If I'm one of the voting poll volunteers, and I don't want to do it, how many more are going to say they don't want to do it and sit there with a mask all day? So now we're going to run out of just the simple basic fundamental of the worker being there.
I'm thinking, like, even if, like, if Trump loses, they'll say it's voter fraud and they'll throw a big fit. But if Trump wins, they'll claim it's Russia or something, and then the other half of the country will throw a fit. I'm saying, also, like, after the second wave talk, my fear is, like, once the vaccine stuff comes out, it'll cause a second wave, like, by shedding. And then everyone will, like, they'll start blaming on the non-maskers and non-vaxxers. Like, and then businesses will start, like, regulating us just like the maskers are now. Well, we won't be allowed to work there. We won't be allowed to go in or something. That'll be
well,
a smooth track.
You can't go in a county building. You can't go anywhere right now, basically. I went to the bowling. They're going to condition these businesses to take temperatures and phone numbers at the door, and that's going to get those businesses set up to be able to check your vaccine right here.
Yeah, the signal's really weak for some reason.
What did you say?
I said I was having a hard time hearing you. It sounded like you were like in a tunnel or something.
I know. It's so strange. I'm having an issue this week and last week with the reception. Are you hearing me well now?
Yeah, at first I thought it was my phone. Sometimes I just didn't get the best signal around here. But
yeah, that's
now
maybe
I'm hearing you
situation.
Fine.
Oh, good.
Maybe it's me.
I shifted a little bit. No, I think it tends to be me because I had an issue last week, too.
Anyway,
it's my phone.
Also, for the CDC, like, I've been hearing, like, how, like, basically, like, I'm wanting to, like, come to Big Pharma, and Big Pharma just, like, the CDC doesn't just, like, push the vaccine stuff. I also saw them, like, pushing, like, the sex, it was either them or HHS was, like, pushing, I think I saw both in some measure, pushing that sex ed stuff. And speaking of sex ed and Big Pharma, like, I'm noticing, like, I read somewhere how Eli Lilly or something related to them was, like, pushing the counseling for the trans and gender stuff. So I think they're hoping to make money off those hormone things, too. I'm saying, like, it's not just, like, vaccines. Like, I think they're, like,
no,
a
it's
ton
all
of
it.
It
will all make some money in the end if they push this. Because we know that
it's
the CDC, most of their directors and employees have come from other different corporations that stand to benefit by putting their people in these agencies.
So I'm just thinking the only way we could possibly stop this stuff is to, like, fight it from the local and county level, although we have to, like, have everyone's cooperation or they just start stripping licenses of everyone that resists. We need a full-blown rebellion.
We saw that bar, the one bar owner in New York City who was part of the class action lawsuit to stop, and the city revoked her liquor license. You can't
like
even.
If they revoked it, like if you had the county say, like, they revoked your license, we're going to let you operate anyway, we'll screw them. I'm saying that's what I think needs to happen in order to defeat this. I'm just hoping they don't march in like Abraham Lincoln and General Sherman and destroy the place when we do it.
Well, that's my issue, too, because, you know, it's about the people getting involved at the local level. And I apply a lot of pressure at the county level to say to them, like, hey, look, why are you doing this? We had two deaths in our whole county that they want to connect to COVID, but both patients had underlining severe issues. So we know what the case is there. But when you talk down to the, you know, you go to the nitty gritty and you talk to your county legislators, they're terrified of losing the state funding. And Cuomo, especially in New York, Cuomo is notorious for holding those carrots over the county's heads. And for me being in New York, I'm a big proponent of getting that government strangle of the 2%.
Well,
we have a 2% tax cap. We have a 2% property tax cap in New York State. And that means that your municipality only has 2% of the overall income of the entire community to take care of their own municipality. So which in turn, then you're leaning on your county, which in turn the county then leans on the state, and then the towns themselves lean on them on the states through grants. People have to start saying no to government money because that's what's controlling it. We know that the schools lost everything because of unfunded mandates, because they took small amounts of money from the federal government and the state, compensated it the rest.
It's not just the Dems, though, like, trying to, like, it's not just the Democrats trying to take over the local government. Like, Republicans were talking about consolidating units of local government and stuff under the, like, thing that we'd be out of a property tax. But what we really do is, like combine school, it'd be, make it harder to fight back from locally, because you'd have, like, it's, like, basically somewhat similar to them trying to have a place to direct the popular vote with a direct election. So that way, like, instead of having each state have a representation, it's, like, this larger, it's, like, making it, more democratic, like a democracy, unless like a republic. And so it's basically taking away local control under the guise of like helping with property taxes. And they're even like trying to change like how education is funded to make it toward the state level. I'm saying that it sounds like the GOP is as much for this as the republic as the Dems are.
Well, I had a lot of pushback. Our county chairman, the county chairman she's a Democrat, and the Democrat caucus pushed for her to get a $35,000 a pay increase due to her time working through the COVID pandemic. Well, part of the Republican caucus in that county legislator, half of them voted to give her this raise. And I just can't even – it's beyond me that if there's any money, and they wanted to sit there and tell me it was unallocated funds just sitting around, well, then funnel it back to the taxpayers so that they are not so suffering. We're losing businesses that hold our county afloat, and I'm supposed to feel bad for some county chairman who was spent time on the phone?
Yeah, that's another thing about losing businesses.
Really doing?
I agree with you what you said earlier about them, like, destroying all the businesses, so we're left with a bunch of cronies, like Home Depots and stuff, which are, like, basically more in line to go with the big government stuff than small businesses, which are more likely to resist. It's like you're destroying their opposition under the guise of, like, of our safety. And it's also, like, interesting, like, how they're also, like, trying to get us isolated first to get us more online, but now, like, because they're afraid we might start to put together a protest, they're, like, making it harder so us gather together. And even places like Australia, they're arresting people for, like, gathering together under the guise of, like, saying they're protecting them from COVID.
I've had conversations at the local level where, you know what another thing people are not upset about? Public meetings aren't opened up yet. So when you want to go, there's not anybody complaining that they haven't gone to a town hall meeting for their town. They haven't gone to a school board meeting. They haven't gone to a county meeting. Do you see people upset about that not opening up yet? But they're upset that we're not going to get candy on Halloween.
Yeah, it seems like they're more upset about Halloween than Easter. Or maybe it's just
by Easter.
I mean, I'm starting to worry that they'll find some way to cancel Christmas now. If you don't stop them.
My church is still not open. So where am I going Christmas morning?
Our church has been open. Our church has been like open since like, I think like May or June. I can't remember, like somewhere as soon as like they, like President Trump, they didn't want to do it right away. But we have like Governor Pritzker, who's about as bad as Cuomo. Like even though we like kind of knew the government, like a local county was on our side, like we just didn't want any trouble. But like eventually, when President Trump said like he was telling the governors to back down, like we figured like and because we know some Christian legal groups, we decided like to open around May. Although we didn't really start choir though until recently, you know. I'm just saying like one thing we have to think about is like when you reopen is like is how stupid it is. Like if one person got COVID or got tested positive for COVID anywhere, that they could possibly shut the whole church down for weeks or whatever, just if one person got it, and they'll blame it on us, like, and use us as a statistic. Like how they're always saying this choir singing, these churches are meeting is causing COVID to go up, while ignoring all the rioters and stuff meeting in mass.
Well, and I think it's the 501s. I mean, I know that we say that there should be a separation. But if you think about it, it's those 501s that create that situation. So my husband and I did a lot of driving around.
Even if we didn't have a 501, there's places like LA that threaten to shut off your utilities, to like businesses
well,
and everything, even
my
homes.
My thought was this, is that my husband and I had been doing a lot of shopping, and as we were stopping at different produce stands and things like that, I would talk to the Amish and the Mennonite, you know, mothers that would be at these stands, and I asked them, how long were your churches closed? And they said maybe 4 weeks. One said 2 months. That's it, from the time of
that's
March.
That's about how long we were.
Right. And for them, their churches are on private property. There's no government oversight at all. You know, there isn't any 501 that ties them to that. And I know that my pastor has talked in the past that churches are, I mean, there's a Christian push right now where churches are starting to go underground and they're starting to do churches at home and things like that. I mean,
cause well, those aren't fully safe because then they'll use like city ordinances to go after them. It's like we can't win unless we start breaking the law and risking arrest at some point. I just don't see how to avoid going to like a Martin Luther King, like a Rosa Parks, if you're arrested and risking jail. But the problem is like kind of like unlike in the past, where like if you got busted for something, you probably could work somewhere. It's like you have like a permanent record that'll pretty much be like a kiss of death to your like job thing, and that's what people are also afraid of too. It's like not like you can get arrested for being civil rights in the past, but now if you do it, you probably, unless you're like PC, like doing it like a politically correct thing, you're most likely to like have a hard time getting hired afterward, and we're already in an economic downturn. So it's like a bad idea unless you have backup.
Paul,
I'm saying the founding fathers wouldn't have like given George the finger if they thought they were doing it by themselves. It's like they all promised like back each other up. That's what we need.
People stand alone, and that's a lot of the problem. I've seen it especially in my generation. You know, me being a middle-aged, you know, Gen X right now, in the middle of these generations. Most people fight their battles on their own. They're either their kids struggling in school or they have this, that, and the other. They don't turn to their neighbors as much as they used to anymore, or turn to their church. And that I find very frustrating. But I don't know if you saw in the headlines, and it was in the last 24 hours that I saw it, that they're going to bring charges on the parents that held a party, I think it was in Connecticut, and now the school has to be shut down because two kids tested positive for COVID. So they're going to bring the parents up on charges that had a party.
Well, I know there's stupider things by the day. I mean, I've heard of like colleges like being closed, put in quarantine just because the sewage tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is
I'm kind of like in a strange way, like because I might have gotten vaccine injured from like I don't know what happened in the past, but I'm like on disability now. I don't know because I have Asperger's and ADHD. Anyway, like, I'm kind of glad, like, I was working for a while, but it turned out to be a temp job, but I'm, like, kind of glad I'm not in school, like, working, because I'm thinking of all the different ways I could get fired or expelled for, like, resisting all the new rules. wondering how long someone like me, I used to be, like, a go-along-to-get-along person, but once I realized that it wasn't doing me any good, I, like, flipped the opposite way.
Well, and that's
the
thing. I mean, if we start doing our own personal rebellions and we start these things, like for me, not wanting to, I mean, I'm very upset about not working the election, on election day.
If I get arrested or something, like, since I live at home, I have to wonder, like, will my parents turn me out? Or also wondering, like, if I get arrested, will I lose my disability benefits or something? And that's another way they get you, especially when they're destroying all these jobs and make it harder to break free. I mean, it's like making it harder to work on your own. Like, you can't grow your own stuff anymore.
It's making me very nervous. It's creating an anxiety that shouldn't exist.
And then they, like, fight all this political stuff to get us all fighting on lines of R&D, gay versus straight and all that stuff so we won't band together. I mean, even the skin thing, I'm like, oh, this is so perfect that I wonder if, like, it's like they stage, I know it sounds stupid, but I'm like, this sounds so perfect. I wonder if they're, like, off Ginsburg or something. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but, like, or, like, just, like,
honestly,
where they meet.
That could have happened at any time, too, which is so terrifying, because when was the last time we actually saw this woman? They probably dropped we don't know. I'm not saying necessarily that they killed her, like you're saying, but we don't even know when she exactly died.
Although she wouldn't be the first suspicious death, as some of us have wondered about Scalia, too.
Yeah, that's true. Because think about it. You and I are on the very same page when that comes to it, because this was Scalia.
I'm just saying that maybe they hit her death or something for a while, like do this for that. I'm not saying they murdered her, but I'm saying that she could have died. In fact, I'm starting to wonder, if we hadn't seen Biden somewhat so much, I start to wonder if like he's like, if, like, in a vegetative state, that Harris is the real candidate.
It's very possible. We just don't know. I mean, and the fact that Biden's already talking about nominating Governor Cuomo as Secretary of State if he wins is terrifying.
Yeah, that's just terrifying. I wish we had a local election. Because I hadn't really, to my shame, I hadn't really voted in the local election until last year because I really didn't know much about it. And I made it a point to go, although I didn't really know much of the candidates, just to, like, try. Although I couldn't find much on the school board to, like, what they knew on issues because I'm just saying I was ignorant. I mean, I tried my best, but at least I made it. And I'm wishing, like, this year was a local election or something instead of, like, a federal
yeah,
one.
Not
because
next
I feel like
year.
It's almost, or a state one, because I'm almost feeling like it's a waste of time. I mean,
well, you
I
know,
could try to vote for their
right,
party, but I mean,
the
if
local
also,
right,
speaking
well,
of, like, local
elections,
just because, like, it's hard to beat the two-party system, but, like, from, like, the state level and stuff, they have it so rigged in their favor that you'd have to, like,
well,
win at the local level on up in order to
you.
Change the rules.
The one piece of advice I can give you about getting involved in local government and learning how they vote, because typically you'll find party lines do not seep into your local politics. And the reason is because those social emotional, the rhetoric you hear from both sides of the party lines at the top, you know, with all the different emotional topics they talk about, never happen at your local level. The best way I could advise you to get involved or even to know how they vote is just read minutes. Go to your school board minutes and read those minutes, and you'll see who voted what. If you'll see if they've had roll call votes. You can do the same thing with your town minutes. Everything they do is in there. And you can see if they're just saying, oh, okay, this guy came in with a grant, and they all just bobbed their head and said, okay, just take the grant. Doesn't matter what we have to lose to get the grant, but just take the grant. And then you start to know it. I mean, that was the best advice I was ever given when I got involved in local politics. I was told by a neighbor to go to every board meeting I could in that year, because every year is fiscally the same. You go through the same, you know, you face the same situations year round, but you see how they vote on the different topics, and then you can get yourself more informed, because you're right. The local governments are what I always say, that the buck stops at the local level, because it all trickles down through the federal government and it comes down through your state, and then who signs the deal for you? Your school, right? Or your town does. And next thing you know, you have electric car charging stations, or you have 5G, or even in my city by us, we're now getting drones. And our city, I can't even tell, nobody can tell me why we're getting drones. So we're succumbing to grant money. You got to watch the minutes. But, you know, I really appreciate you calling in, Paul, because your input is very, it's very precise, and you're very in tune to what is going on. And for someone in your caliber of life of just looking at how everything goes, you're very intelligent on these matters, and I want to thank you for calling in. And I only have a couple of minutes left, and call in again, Paul. I would love to have those conversations. And you know, next week, actually in 2 weeks, I'll have Lynn Taylor on.
Okay.
Questions for Lynn.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Well, thank you very much for joining me on Moms Watching Media today. I really appreciate those that called in. My girlfriend, Kat, you're wonderful. I'm sorry the call got dropped. And, Paul, it's always wonderful to hear your input, your insight to what's going on in today's society. And join me again next Tuesday, and we will be hitting all these hot topics. From now until then, you have a great week.
Do you struggle with your health? Do you have a tough time decoding all the noise out there about health and wellness? We all do. Join us as we learn and grow our way forward in a more positive, autonomous, liberty-minded way. How can we claim personal independence if we don't have autonomy and control over our own bodies and, more importantly, our minds?
From the foods that we eat to the media that we consume, we have a duty as freedom-loving individuals to claim our independence of ourselves. From GMOs, to medicines, to vaccines, governmental tyranny, or perhaps exchanging a good recipe. No topic is off limits.
Join us here on Freedomizer Radio on Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time for Mental Acumen with Donald and Christy Rhodes. Hope to see you there.
Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative Radio Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.